Good morning, everyone. Today is the 18th of February, 2019. And I have a question for you this morning. Larry's just full of questions. Has everyone been born again by the Spirit of God? Has everyone been born again by the Spirit of God? Well, the answer is obvious. The next question is, have you been born again by the Spirit of God? Scripture tells us that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The next question I have is, what determines who are born again by the Spirit of God and those who are not? Good morning, Sarfrazd Amy. Well, that answer to that question should also be obvious. That is that those who are born again by the Spirit of God are born again by the Spirit of God. So God determines it. Man would have us to believe something else. Man would have us to believe that you and I determine our own salvation by our decision, our choice. Good morning, Rashan Prajapati. So throughout the scripture, we find a clear distinction between two peoples. Those who have been born again by the Spirit of God, and those who have not. God is always victorious for His people. God bless you too. This morning, God has always been victorious for His people. We're on the winning side for His people. It may not appear that way. God is victorious, always victorious for His people. God is supreme. He is sovereign. We see His attributes revealed to us in the Bible. Yes, one of His attributes is love, and His love is distinctively particular for His people. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. But it's not shed abroad in everyone's hearts by the Holy Ghost. God has His enemies. Good morning, Humphrey Machasio. The Bible reveals to us that God has His enemies. He tells us that He's going to put His enemies under His feet. Second Psalm says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Scripture also tells us that the wicked were created for the day of evil. They are vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. People don't want to hear the truth of the Word of God. They want to hear fables. They want to have their ears tickled, don't they? We're speaking of the absolute sovereignty of God. God is sovereign over all things, including evil and including the reprobate. The elect were chosen before creation. The golden chain of salvation, Romans 8. Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. And those He predestinated, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can lay anything against the charge of God's elect? So the elect are not only chosen before creation, but they're called out of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And this born-again experience being quickened by the Holy Spirit, is everlasting life that's given to us, not temporary life, everlasting life. God shows his people everlasting kindness and mercy. He provides water for the thirsty and food for the hungry soul. And we're quickened by the Holy Spirit of God. The Word of God tells us that none seeks after God. They've all gone out of the way. And so that's why Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again. The prophet Jeremiah shows us electing love when he says that God knew him while he was yet in his mother's womb. Ezekiel shows us distincting love when he shows us the valley of dry bones. Good morning, Leon Kennedy. God bless. And good morning, Asif Kershid. Greetings to you this morning. Daniel shows us that he's a chosen prophet of God, how God delivered Daniel from the lion's mouths and the lion's den. Amos asked an important question. Is there evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? So God's wrath is reserved for his enemies. The 9th chapter of Romans as well as in Malachi, we see two sons, Jacob and Esau. And scripture tells us while they were yet in Rebekah's womb, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And no, that does not mean Jacob have I loved more than Esau. It doesn't mean that at all. It means exactly what it says. The atonement of Jesus Christ is a beautiful thing. Scripture tells us the purpose for Jesus Christ coming to earth was to save his people from their sins. That's marvelous in our eyes to think that he would leave the ivory palaces of heaven and come down here to this cursed earth and walk the dusty trails of this earth 3.5 years. And lay his life freely down on a cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us, all of his people. What did he tell Zacchaeus, the short-statured man that climbed up in a sycamore tree? He said, I must abide at thy house today. It was predestined that Zacchaeus would climb up in that tree. It was foreordained that he would be a recipient of eternal life. Jesus Christ says in John 6:10, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and no man can pluck them out of my hand, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. The new birth causes the spiritually blind to see and the spiritually deaf to hear. Now, we as Christians, the Bible says that if we are in Christ, we shall suffer persecution. But God will give us the grace and the victory to withstand whatever we must go through while we're in this life. In the 17th chapter of John, the 2nd verse, we're told that God has given Christ power over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. In John 6:37, we're told that all that the Father hath given him will come to him. All that the Father has given Jesus Christ will come to him. It's not free will. It's a predetermined before the foundation of the world that they would be recipients of his grace. This is that golden chain of salvation we spoke of earlier. When the Apostle Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus, he said he, later on, he conferred not with flesh and blood. Remember what Jesus Christ told him, get up and it will be told thee what thou must do. A lot of people say, why do you go on the air every morning, Larry? Spew out your doctrine. Well, I don't believe it's my doctrine. I believe it's the Bible. And I believe that God has called me to do this. There was a time when Larry had to get up and do what he was told that he must do. And I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I'm glad I did go to a seminary. I'm glad I didn't subscribe to synods and sessions and creeds and confessions. I'm glad that the Bible is my regulating principle for my faith and my life. It has everything that I need. The Holy Spirit is the one who breathed out the Word of God through His prophets and through His disciples and through Christ. It's a living Word. Many people don't want to hear about the doctrine of election and predestination. They don't want to hear about particular redemption. They don't want to hear the fact that God does not cause everyone to be born again by His Spirit. It's His choice. Our fellowship as God's elect is with the Father and with Christ. That's the marks of God's people. We're sanctified, preserved, and called. So this morning, it's a great doctrine to know that it's all of God, has nothing to do with man. And it was all determined before creation. God's people, may this be a blessing to you this morning. And may you have a good week in the Lord is my prayer. Good morning, Asif Kershid. And anyone else that's joined us that I have not recognized, welcome aboard as well. And I'm thankful for the predestinating, electing, effectual calling, sanctifying, preserving power of God. God bless.